Now listen, we have, for about a year, haven't had a lot of fellowship. And so the staff got together and they, you know, I was gone, and then they asked me what I thought. I said, well, that's great. We need the coming together in fellowship as much as we do in worship. I don't know whether you realize it or not, but when you come together with people of like faith in fellowship, it's strengthening. And so that's why we're having some of these, and we're going to be having more of these as the summer goes on and as we go on. So everybody make plans to come on out. Now, I know that I don't know what concessions will be out there, but I know Byron will have, he'll have something out there, I guarantee you. He may have that funnel cake place out there. I don't know, but most people really like that. And I don't know, he'll probably have some hot dogs. I don't know whether they have any hamburgers or not. Oh, hamburgers, hot dogs, snow cones, ice cream. All right. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm getting hungry because I hadn't eaten today yet. I eat after church usually. All right. Ecclesiastes 3:1. You don't preach very much from Ecclesiastes, but I want to read this for what I'm talking about tonight. Praise the Lord. I'll give you a chance to find it there. Because most people, they don't ever go to Ecclesiastes, so it takes a little longer to find it. All right, let's start out with the first verse. For everything there is a season, a time, for every activity under heaven. Time to be born, a time to die, time to plant, time to harvest, time to kill, time to heal, time to tear down, time to build up, time to cry, time to laugh, a time to grieve, a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to turn away, a time to search and a time to quit searching, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be quiet and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time to war and a time to peace. Now, this is probably one of the most quoted scriptures when it comes to dealing with change. And that's what I'm going to talk about tonight is change. Have you ever heard the saying, nothing changes if nothing changes? You know, another thing that you probably have heard is change is inevitable. You know, sometimes some people try to live life without change. I don't think that's possible. You know why? Because you have changed every year of your life, you've changed. You've got older, right? You've changed places, you've changed cars, you've changed houses. See, can you imagine living without change? That would be, to me, that would be sort of boring, you know. To live is to change. And any thought of trying to avoid change is sort of foolishness. Now, there's many people that try to resist change and try to stay the way they are. But you need to release yourself from resisting change and learn to live life at its fullest. There's a saying that goes, nothing changes if nothing changes. And if I keep going down, doing what I've always done, I'll keep getting what I've always got. And I will keep feeling what I've always felt. You know, if you keep doing the same thing over and over and expect a change, Something's the matter with you. You have to change to get different results. Albert Einstein said, the definition of insanity or crazy is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. Nothing changes if nothing changes. Turn to your neighbor and say, nothing changes if nothing changes. If I'm wanting change and I keep doing what I've always done, then I'll have what I've always get. Actually, resisting change and not changing is just another way of saying you're living in a rut. Now, I don't know whether this is a good definition or not, but my definition of rut is a fixed, unusually boring routine. If you continue to do the same thing, the rut you're in, you'll stay in. And unless you change, you'll be stuck in the same rut, just spinning your wheels and going nowhere. Now, I grew up in the black land of North Central Texas. And that black gumbo mud down there, if you stick with it when it's dry, it'll sure stick to you when it's wet. Anybody from north central area of Texas, anybody that they call it the Blackland Prairie? It's where they grow. We grow a lot of cotton and stuff there. And man, in the summertime when it gets dry, you have to go outside and run water because it will pull away from the foundation of the house, and you have to go outside and run water down in there. So, and it expands. Down there, and before they started building with the slabs and stuff, they built what they have crawl space underneath the house. In the wintertime, I mean, sometimes you couldn't even hardly crawl underneath there. But you let summertime come, they could be as much as 3 feet of crawl space. Because that's the way that mud, it was that way. And man, I've got stuck in it, and the more you spin your wheels trying to get out, the deeper you go until you get right down on the rear ends, right on the ground. Now you got to go get a wrecker to pull you out. I think that's the way some people are in life. They're just stuck where they're at. Now, sometimes the reason people are stuck where they're at is because their mindset, oh, this is comfortable. I've got complete control of everything, and everything's going great. Now, Woodrow Wilson, president of U.S., said, if you want to make enemies, try to change something. I grew up my dad was a pastor. My soul. You want to change something at the church. Wow. Anybody been there? Change can be threatening. Why is that? Because it will bring a level of uncertainty because that you really don't know what's coming. And sometimes that can bring in fear. And of course, 2 Timothy 1:7, for we're not been given the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. So, now stay with me on this. Therefore, we don't need to be fearful of change. You see, many people get comfortable in where they are spiritually, and they just remain there. They don't want any change. Many people come into a church, and they want everything to stay the same. They want the same songs. They want everything to stay the same. Listen to me. You need to have an attitude that I am ready and open and willing for any change that God wants to bring my direction. But have you ever been around people that were comfortable where they were naturally and comfortable where they were spiritually, and they did not want any changes? Anybody ever been? Oh, I got a lot of people. I got some people raising two hands. You know, our dress code and a lot of things that we do around here are different than they used to be several years ago. But how many of you have been here through when we quit wearing ties and so forth and started changing stuff? How many of you notice that Pastor did it very, very gradually? Anybody notice that? I did it on purpose because I know people. People resist change. When you begin to change things in a service, change the format, people don't like change. But we need to get ourselves ready to do for change. If God wants to change it, okay. I asked somebody not very long ago, something that was going on here on the platform. I said, why are you still doing it that way? Well, that's the way we've always done it. I said, have you ever thought there might be a better way? Have you ever thought that as you progress in life naturally and spiritually, that there might be a better way of doing it than the same way you've been doing it? You know, some people think that I know this one guy, he said, I can't pray unless I'm laying flat on the floor. I can't pray any other way. I said, why? Oh, that's the way I've always done it. And that's when I've always got blessed better doing it that way. I said, the only reason you get blessed better doing it that way is because that's the way you think that it's going to get blessed. Now, you might notice, if you notice at prayer time, you might notice that I walk and pray a lot. Anybody ever notice that? Somebody said, well, why do you do that? Because I've been in the ministry all of my life, really. And I learned to talk as I'm moving. I just seem to be able to, but hey, I can change. I can stop and kneel down and pray if I so desire. And sometimes I do. But most of the time, I'd rather walk and pray. If I'm in the house, I'm sometimes walking in the house. Now, sometimes I wake up in the night and I don't want to wake her, so I go out and I walk in the hall and down around the living room. I'll walk and I'll pray a little bit, and then I'll come back and go to bed. If she goes to sleep, you don't ever want to wake her up because that's it. With me, I hit the bed, I go to sleep. If I wake up, I lay back down and go to sleep. But, you know, change. Everybody say change. Now you see, we're going to have, instead of a Sunday night service, we're going to have a fellowship time. That's a change, right? And some people, well, I don't understand that. Man, you're not going to worship God. Hey, I don't have to be in church to worship God. Now, there's some people that think that you got to be inside of a local building to worship. I can worship in my car, do it all the time. Anybody understand what I'm trying to get across to you tonight? That we get so set in something that if there is a change, we don't know what to do. There are some people, if they lose their job, their identity is in their job. They don't know what to do with themselves if it changes. See, people should not be fearful of change, but because they have an attitude, they unconsciously don't resist change. They resist change. It happens in individuals, in marriages, business organizations, and unfortunately, with churches. Now, you might remember a few years back, I did a whole series on ages, stages, and generations. Now, how many of you heard me do that? Now, stop and think about it. That had to do with change, right? Anybody realize that? I talked to the old people about changing their attitudes, and I talked to the young people about changing their attitude. I talked about us changing, and instead of being generational separation, we have generational cohesion. How many remember that? You see, I learned a long time ago, if things are going to change, you begin to speak about it. The Bible does. I learned it from my dad as well as my working with my father-in-law for those 6 years. And anytime change happens, people sometimes get a little, a good time to do change is just like what we've been going through. And a lot of things have had to change. And so, hey, that's good. Change is good. We had, for years, they had a 6 o'clock men's prayer meeting on Sunday morning. And I didn't like it either. I didn't like it, but I had to go out there. I was associate pastor. I had to be there. And my father-in-law, he said, I'm trying to get myself ready to be for the service. We're getting ready, and here we are, and we should do our praying beforehand. But this had been going on for years. And it was just me and my father-in-law, V. Tipton, and Brother Sexton. That'd be all that there, three of us. We'd be there. But now, Brother Tipton would say, and I remember him doing this, he talked about, well, let's do away with Sunday morning prayer. Oh, we can't do that. And so then for the next few Sundays, there'd be, 10 people might show up or 15, and then it'd drop off. Finally, it'd end up just with us three, me, Brother Tipton, and Brother Sexton. And so we were talking one day, and he said, you know what? He said, I'm going to tell Brother Sexton just keep coming if he wants to, but we're not going to come anymore, and I'm not going to make no announcement about it. And you know what? Nobody said a word. And it was a 2 years later, one guy said, are they still having a men's prayer on Sunday morning? I said, no, everybody quit coming. We're not having any more. He said, okay. But that's what I'm talking about, change in the church. And you might see some things that we will change around here. We made some changes around here over the last year or so, and they're good. So we're going to keep doing it. I mean, the text and the give, I think, is one of the best things that ever happened. And then we had the deal outside the church office where people could come by and drop their money in anytime during the week. And we took that away, and somebody started complaining, so we put it back out. It's out there. If you want to come by during the week, that's good too. You see, religious tradition needs to change. Stuff you just, it's just a part of your normal way you do things, that can change. The word can't change. Salvation doesn't change. Holy Spirit doesn't change. Healing doesn't change. But the way you present it and the way things are done can change. You know, a lot of people go through the motions of Christianity, but they've never had a change. You know, when you think about it, lifestyle. Now I'm going to go on another side of this change business. One time I've been going down another road. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old thing, our new creation, our new person would be our way of saying it. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have been new. The simple interpretation of this scripture is change. Yeah. Traditional and rituals are effective as long as they're relevant. Refusal to change is called stubbornness. Someone has said the Bible talks about stubbornness 28 times and 19 more times it uses the word stiff-necked. These are words talking about people that refuse to change. I understand the promise of God. They can't change, but a work person can be, they can be so stubborn that they won't even change to be in line with God's word. You know, you think about this. You begin to think about this. That scripture we just read. People change, situations change, methods change, our traditions may change that are no longer ever, but we don't need to be closed off to change. Do you know some people, they weren't even members, they didn't even come here to church, but they're part of their rhema, they've been in rhema. They got upset because there wasn't no line down here no more. I'm serious. Some of them asked Miss Lynette, aren't you going to put another line for us to line up on? She said, no. But they didn't like, and you don't know how many people that wanted a piece of that pink line. Huh? You got some. William got one. A lot of people did. I come in here one time, and there was a person laying down, and they were taking a picture of them laying on the pink line. How many remember RMA when we used to have everything over there before this building ever built? How many of you were around? How many of you remember the big blue stage? Yeah. Do you know when we changed that, people, why are you changing it? Blah, 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 blah. And why am I saying all this? I'm saying all this so that we can begin to realize that life goes on. And life changes and things change. Just because we did something one way 20 years ago is no sign we'd do it that way today. You know, you got a lot of people that still gripe about the lights and all that. Well, we got these bright lights for TV, but all them colored lights, I don't care. Don't bother me. I don't know how in the world you preach. With all them colored lights. I mean, I had a person say this. And then all that haze that's out there. I said, well, that's nothing else but a water-based haze. I said, there's nothing wrong with it. It don't even have any chemicals in it. It's a water-based haze. Oh, well, you oughtn't to have that in the church. I said, why? Well, you just shouldn't have it. And I said, well, what do you got in your church? Well, we got this and that. Why you got it in there? Well, yeah, we're supposed to have it. I said, that's what we're supposed to have too. So, yeah. There's one thing about me that most of you know is that you start pushing my button and I'll push back. I don't back down very easy. Right, Pete? Huh? You know, it's crazy to continue to think that you have to do the same thing all the time. That's not the way it has to be. I grew up in Pentecost. I grew up in the churches. As a young kid, 5, 6 years old, Dad was down there in East Texas. And those people thought you got to sing the same song but for 15 minutes. Over and over again. Where's Anthony? He grew up in, I think he'd probably agree with me. Because if you sing that long enough, the Spirit of God will move. Somebody will dance. I told one guy one time after I got up to be a teenager and Dad was preaching in one of them churches, and they sang this song, and they kept singing this old hymn. I was about 13, 14. And I said, I'm going to get up and dance, and if I do, everybody else start dancing, and we'll go on with the service. You know, there are some things in life that's going to change. There's some things in the church that's going to change. But the blood of Jesus is never going to change. Healing's never going to change. Those things are never going to change. But we don't have to have the same thing all the time. Some people think it's got to be this way. Well, it don't necessarily have to be. We need to realize and enjoy living life one day at a time, sweet Jesus. That old song. You know, no, he'll never change. You can trust him, he will never change, but we can change our methods. We can change how we do things. This is actually part of how I talked about in ages and stages and generations. Hey, if you did it like I like it, we'd be singing quartet type songs. We'd do a little country gospel singing. And if you did it like the younger people like it, they'd be up here doing Christian rap. I can't even understand it, but these kids seem to. But I got to thinking about the other day, and I remember back in the 50s when rock and roll started, my parents and other older people, well, I don't understand that stuff, you know. Anybody here, child of the 50s, you graduated from high school in the 50s, how many of you remember about the rock and roll and they you know. Church is the same way. We've got our music. Every generation in the church has their music, and we have to learn to change to work. Everybody works together. Learn to realize, hey, we need the fellowship as much as we need to be praising God, and that's part of it, but we need fellowship with one another. We need to be able to speak into each other's lives. See, it says in Romans 12:2, and I don't know whether you got anything out of this or not, I'm just talking to you tonight. I don't know whether you even call it a sermon or not, but I'm doing it anyway. And I'm not going to apologize for it. In Romans 12:2 says, don't be conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. That's in King James, New King James. NLT says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. I want you to notice here, it's talking about be transformed. When you transform something, you change it. Hello? That's what a transformer does. It changes. It can change. You can change one electrical power coming here. It goes through that transformer, and it comes out on the other side, and it's changed. It's not the same power. You take your 110 hairdryer and you go down to one of these other countries and they got 220. They don't have 110. And you plug that thing in and it's going to blow. Bam. But they got this little deal that's called a transformer, and you plug that into the wall and then you plug your 110 into that. Everything's fine because it changes the current. Do you know most houses, most buildings have 220 come in, but they split it at the breaker box and break it down, and so you have 110. I think we're about the only country that has that does that, but we do. We have one tent. But there's a change. And it for us, it's good. It's talking, he says, be transformed by the changing of your mind. In fact, that's what it says in here in NLT says, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. We need to change our way we think about church and how church is supposed to operate. Just be, and I've heard people say, well, they do it this way over there. They do it this way over there. In fact, a lot of times they say, in fact, Craig was somewhere and they said, well, they don't do that way at Raymond anymore. Craig said, what difference does that make? See, we need to realize that when we are born again, we are transformed and things should change. Hello? Transform means to undergo a change. Anybody ever seen a caterpillar crawling around on the ground? It's not a very beautiful creature at all. But it undergoes a change. It's transformed. That's what a change. And it becomes a beautiful butterfly. You see, if there hadn't been any change, then nothing would have changed. I read that scripture over there about 2 Corinthians 5:17. I want to reiterate it just right here as we close. You can't belong to Christ and still do what you've been doing. Why? Because if you're still doing the same thing, there's been no change, and nothing changes if nothing changes. We need to realize that people need to have a change of mind, a change of heart, a change of walk, a change of talk, a change of life. Things you used to do, you don't do anymore. Why? Because you changed. Places you used to go, you don't go anymore. Why? Because you've changed. Remember, nothing changes if nothing changes. You must make up your mind that you're tired of the things the way they are. And then you change your confession. Line it up with the Word of God. If you're sick, then you say, I'm healed by his stripes. See, you got to make up your mind to change. Even with the word, even with the things of the spirit, just because it happened one way in one service, that doesn't mean that's the way it always has to happen. I get so tired of people talking about, oh man, we had a Holy Ghost meeting last night. Well, what do you mean? Well, man, we're dancing and shouting and running and jumping. And I said, well, really? I said, yeah, that's Holy Ghost, all right. But I said, we had a Holy Ghost meeting too, and nobody said anything. Everybody was quiet. Oh, well, that can't be the Holy Ghost. There are some people that think that way. And there's some people that think because we don't jump and shout every service that we've gotten away from what my dad taught. Hey, my dad would teach this. He said, you can't have a church and shout every service. You got to have the teaching of the word, so forth. What I'm trying to get across to you tonight is that in your life, naturally and spiritually, we have to be willing to accept change in line with the word of God and be successful. The first step to making change is to realize that you're in a rut and you need to say, hey, I need to rethink this. I need to change. Remember, nothing changes if what? If nothing changes. Father, tonight I just tried to talk to these people about life and spiritual things and natural things, and that that there are things that need to change, and that we need to get our mindset to change. we all know that the word doesn't change, and the things you say doesn't change, your spirit doesn't change, but we can change. And I thank you, Father, that people understand the words that we've said tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Did anybody get anything out of this tonight? I hope I helped somebody. Hallelujah. Listen, if you happen to be in this place and you need a change in your life, you don't know Jesus Christ, or you know what it is to know him, and you need to rededicate your life, as we're dismissed, the ladies are here, the men are over here, you come down here, they'll pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. If you'd like to receive the Holy Spirit, if you need somebody to pray with you about something, they're here and ready and available. Everybody stand up, please. I think we had some first-time guests. If our people will find the first-time guests and get them to the out front, we got a special something for you. If you just go out there, they're going to give that to you. Remember Sunday, right here, Sunday morning. And then remember next Sunday night, not this coming, not the 6th. That's coming Sunday's the 6th, right? The next Sunday night, the 7th, there's a change. We're not going to have church in here. At 7 o'clock, we're going to meet out over there by the NRC. We're going to have fellowship. We're going to enjoy the comradeship of one another as Christians and enjoy some life. Okay? Just remember, hey, there may be some changes around here, but I believe they're going to be for the best. Amen? How many of you are ready? You've been tied down with the way this thing has been going the last year or so. You're ready for fellowship with other people of like faith. Many of us have missed seeing our friends, and I've missed seeing a lot of people here in the congregation. I miss going to seeing people coming at the door, so I'm looking forward to that. Amen. Hey, Sunday morning right here. Be right here. 9 o'clock, School of the Bible. And then regular service at 10. Thank all of you that are watching online with us. We're glad you're there. We're glad to have you with us. All right. Shake hands with somebody. Tell them I'm not going to be opposed to change. I'm going to enjoy it. If you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, come to the front right now.